Thank you for listening to the CPA Trendlines podcast, a production of CPATrendlines.com, now available on iTunes. CPA Trendlines presents an episode of The Disruptors.
Welcome to Accounting Disruptor Conversations. I'm your host, Liz Farr from CPA Trendlines. My guest today is Jackie Meyer, the Concierge CEO, the Concierge CPA, CEO of Meyer Tax, founder of Tax Plan IQ, and the Certified Concierge Accountant Mastermind. Welcome to the show, Jackie.
Thank you so much, Liz.
Well, I'm just pleased as punch to have you on board because I like to have a lot of different points of view, and you certainly have a different point of view than some of my other guests. So let's get started. Accounting talent in the U.S. and around the world has been scarce for a long time. What are some ideas that you have on how to make things better?
Oh, gosh. Do we have all day?
So many things.
Yeah, so many things. Okay, I'll try to make it succinct. First of all, I think that practices need to niche down into an advisory service of some sort. I personally love tax planning as like the top kind of ROI method way to really niche down and provide a higher level of value to your clients and really give them that kind of concierge assistance that they really want. So I'm all about kind of low volume, high niche areas. And that solves so many problems internally and externally, you know, with your clients being able to get a hold of you whenever they need to, or even before they actually do something that they might not need to do or should do. But then also from a staffing perspective, it makes the work so much more enjoyable because they get to work one-on-one with these clients more and see this big impact that they're having on them instead of it just being a paper mill. And so I think that's definitely the first thing that I would say that could help solve that problem. I think the second thing is just putting boundaries in place into firms and for firm owners to know that boundaries are okay in our industry. You don't have to get walked all over. You don't have to get stepped on, and you don't have to accept returns on April 14th and turn them around in one day. That is not appropriate. That's not appropriate behavior by the client. It's not appropriate for you to ask your team to do that. So, you know, we have to redefine those boundaries in our industry. What's appropriate behavior and what is not? And let's not conform to the inappropriate behavior anymore.
Those are some really good ideas, you know, and I love the idea of boundaries and making sure that people respect you. You know, I remember so many times when people would drop things off and then call up and a day later and say, so did you finish it yet? Well, no, this is not H&R Block.
Yeah,
we don't do it that way.
And it's not best for the client either to turn around work so quickly. And they just, you know, by not explaining that concept to the client, they don't understand. They'll never understand what it's like to be an accountant, just like we don't understand what it's like to be a vet or to be an ER doctor. There's really specific, urgent things that happen in our industry that you have to just explain to the client so that they have appropriate expectations.
That's right. Now, until recently, the business model for accounting firms really hadn't changed much. You know, it was based on the billable hour and this kind of pyramidal organizational structure with a few partners up at the top and then some managers and then a whole bunch of staff accountants. Mm-hmm. But we're beginning to see that change. What are some of the changes that you're seeing in the firms that you work with?
Oh, gosh. I think the most important change is just change in itself. So not conforming to the old way of doing things and just having like an aha moment of, oh, wow, I can block my time in the week. Mm. I can choose what my priorities are. I can actually give a sales presentation to a client without feeling cheesy and gross. I can go outside the norms of what's expected from a traditional accounting practice, and it's going to be okay.
Those are really good ideas. Yeah. And I remember when I was still in public accounting, and I was working on getting my CVA to become a certified valuation analyst. The way I got through that work was to block off the first hour of my day to just study the materials. And that was how I got through it. You know, it kind of annoyed some of the partners, I think, when they would stop by my desk and see me reading and studying and taking notes instead of doing whatever it was that they wanted me to do. But I'd explain to them, well, look, you know, you want me to do this, so this is what it's going to do. This is what it's going to take.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. You've got to stand up for yourself, right? Know what you need to do to get what it get.
Yeah. And you've got to be able to just say, well, this client email just came in, but I'm in the middle of this thing that is taking all my focus. And so if I drop what I'm doing to talk to address this email, then it's going to take me another 10 or 15 minutes to get back into what I was doing.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So what other strategies besides blocking time have you found personally useful?
Oh gosh, there's so many. Okay. Let me try to pick my favorites. I love visualizing the value that you're bringing to your services. And so I'm a huge advocate of that. I'm a big proponent of what I call the ROI method of selling. And I'm not a salesperson. I'm an accountant just like anybody else. But I realize that you have to go out of your comfort zone for clients to connect with what you're doing and realize like how big of a value that you're bringing to them. And so I love seeing accountants get that aha moment of, wow, I can actually like show the client that I saved them $50,000. And after my cost, they still had an ROI of, you know, 400-500%. So that's really an important one. I think it's important for us to discuss that more in our industry because people get so concerned that value pricing and this ROI method is getting confused with contingent fees and something that, you know, the AICPA says we can't do. And that's just not the case. It's not true. I'm on the AICPA practice management committee. I spoke at their last conference. You know, they're very supportive of value pricing and whatnot. And so I like to see that kind of incremental change with practices. Let's see, what else are the kind of the big hitters? Oh gosh, having standardized processes and procedures.
Oh wow.
That's a big one, right? And it's not mm-hmm. what we see happening in our firms. I really love mm-hmm. to see accountants sharing information with each other on, oh, hey, I found this better way to do this. Here's how it is. In the SaaS software that I created, TaxPlan IQ, which helps tax planners, we have checklists and workflows of how to actually like implement tax planning strategies. And so that's kind of revolutionary to our industry of like, this is exactly how you do these things to get these complex matters solved. I also host a Facebook group called Accounting Firm Influencers. Would love to have your listeners join us. And we have over 5,000 accountants that are talking daily about you know, things they're doing to better their practices, ways to have more confidence, jokes just to help us get through the day. There's a lot that are still suffering through the 4:15 busy season. So that's always a really cool thing to do as well.
Yeah. I monitor that Facebook group just to kind of get a pulse of what's going on and what the hot button issues are. So I really enjoy that because I really get an inside view of what is going on in public accounting now that I'm outside of public accounting. I really like seeing that. Now, what about growing firms? Are there strategies that you think are best? And are there different ones for solo firms and for multi-member, multi-partner firms?
Well, I will say this, with the coaching that I do with accountants, I used to not coach brand new firms because we thought, oh, well, they're not established enough to do some of these coaching principles. And then we realized later on that they're the perfect coaching student because they can implement this stuff right away. There's nothing constraining them. Once you get into a bigger, like multi-partner firm, there's so many limitations and things that slow them down from implementing change. So tell me your question one more time.
What are some good strategies for growing a firm?
Yeah, so I find that it's easier from a smaller firm perspective to grow. It's easier to niche down. So overall, hopefully those smaller firms out there have hope because you're actually the solution, I think, compared to the bigger firms. But I really think tax planning is the way to go to level up a firm. I mean, it tripled revenues in my firm. I've seen it triple revenues in a lot of our coaching student practices. And it equally decreases your time because tax planning in itself is not extremely time consuming, but it's that knowledge-based value that you're bringing to the table and all that research and education that you put into it beforehand. But then the tax planning itself, once you get it down, it's not time consuming. And so it's really a great profit driver.
I really like the idea of tax planning and having some expertise. When I was in public accounting, tax planning was really a misnomer, what we were doing. It was really just helping these people get an idea of how much cash they were going to have to come up with to file
Yes,
their
that's
tax
the
return.
thing.
It was so absurd. It was just trying to figure out what is the size of the check that I was going to write?
Exactly. And there's so much more to it. There's dozens and dozens of tax strategies out there to utilize.
Yes. Yes. There's so many things you can do, from setting up a retirement plan for your business or different benefits or salary structures or business structures or compensation. There's so much you can do.
Yeah, definitely. I find that there's like a core of about a dozen strategies that each firm will kind of start to specialize in, but there's so many to choose from, and it depends on what your niche is and what industries you work with as to which might be the best for you.
Exactly. Now, it used to be that to be really good in accounting, you had to keep the tax code in your head or the FASB regulations, and you had to be really good with the 10 key. But some of those skills have gone by the wayside now. What are the skills that you think accountants need to be successful today and in the future?
I think they need to be detectives and, want to like solve problems. I think that's going to be the big thing that helps accountants stand out in our profession. Not just being a numbers cruncher, thinking outside the box and giving proactive advice. And oh my goodness, when the client comes, you don't know. I hate it when people ask like a tax planning question, can I do this? And you're like, no. No. Like, think about what they could do out of that scenario, because right. there's probably mm-hmm. some options.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are always multiple ways to achieve a goal. But the key is to keep in, to find out what the overarching goal is mm-hmm. before you just say, no, you can't do that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, we've talked about some of the things that accountants should do. What are some things that accountants should stop doing immediately?
Oh, man, hourly billing. Yeah, if you bring value to the table, value price it, please, and price it up front. So you don't have any AR, you don't have any client complaints, because they know exactly what they're getting into and they know exactly what to expect. And then bring that value to the table. So yes, please, let's get rid of hourly billing. I'm not a huge proponent of getting rid of the timesheet quite yet, but I'm starting to get there. Definitely, I can see the value. I think Ron Baker said the other day in this CPA Practice Advisor Symposium, Thought Leader Symposium, that making someone fill out a timesheet every 5 to 10 minutes is like someone being in jail. And why are we subjecting our workers to this? So there's, you know, got to be better ways to deal with time than that. And so I'm trying to explore how we can still effectively budget a job without having to, you know, record every single second of the day. So that's something that's to look into for sure. Other things accountants should stop doing. Assume that you can do everything and, you know, niche down instead, because if a generalist isn't going to work in the future for us, mm-hmm. we've got bookkeeping taking over, we've got AI taking over, we've got a lot of different people and professions that are taking over the basic things that we tend to offer as accountants. And so we need to start moving on to that higher level of service.
Absolutely. And I am with you 100% on billing by the hour. And, you know, and I, there is a place for timesheets in trying to figure out what a particular project should take overall and where things are going out of kilter, out of whack. That's a good thing, because that can point you to ways that you can improve things in your firm. But it's when the timesheet is used as a sledgehammer to punish, mm-hmm. then it's not fair. Then it's completely useless as a tool. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're told that this project should take 6 hours, and well, actually, the partner who wrote down the six on there, he writes 6 hours down on every business tax return. So that's a pretty meaningless metric. So yeah. If it takes me 10 hours or 12 hours, how was that helpful?
Right.
And
exactly.
Yeah. And if we only have, you know, if it's late November and we don't have much work going on, you know, whose fault is it that I only have 4 billable hours this week? It's not my fault if there's no work for me to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, what are some of the blocks that keep accountants from changing?
Change is so hard for anybody, right? And so mm-hmm. we're so used to what we've been doing at the firms that we worked for before starting our own practices and whatnot, right? Mm-hmm. So you don't know what you don't know. I would encourage accountants to get education and CPE outside of just technical areas so that you can see the gamut of like what's out there and what can change and what can be done, because there's so much more to an accounting firm practice. You know, I really want people to align their passion and purpose and it not just be like sucky, like you said before we started the podcast. We want accounting to suck less, right? And I'm with you.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think a big part of what helped me get where I am now was learning about accountants around the world. That here in the US, we tend to think that this is the center of the universe. But really, over in the UK and Australia and New Zealand, the English-speaking parts of the world, they're doing a lot of things a little bit differently than we are. And it's the same overall things. We have to get the numbers. We have to help with audits. We have to help with the bookkeeping. We have to help with some tax compliance. All of that is the same. But there are so many different approaches to it. And that's what really helped me open my eyes to what is possible.
Yeah, definitely. Unfortunately, a lot of accountants change because they've hit rock bottom. And so I'm trying to come in before they hit rock bottom and encourage them to make change before their health suffers, their mental or physical health suffers. I know back when, you know, I had my first child, I was doing like four people's jobs. I had no idea that I could, you know, trust other people to do the work. I had no idea that hourly billing wasn't the thing to do. And I was just miserable and my health suffered, my mental health suffered for sure. And so, you know, I want to get the word out that there is a better way and, you know, change is important before you hit rock bottom, if possible.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, right now, client accounting services or client advisory services, CAS, whatever you want to call that, that's a big thing. Let me ask you to put your hands on a crystal ball and tell me what is the next big thing in accounting?
Oh, the next big thing in accounting. Oh gosh. I would honestly, this is probably against the grain of every listener, but I would love for AI to take over bookkeeping and tax preparation, any just data entry functions. I would love for that to happen so that we can all really use our brains for like what we were made for, you know? And that would be really, really cool. And there's been talks of this for years and years and years, but it feels like we're really on the brink of it actually happening.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I remember when I was in public accounting and we were starting to use AutoFlow technology for tax returns. And at the beginning, it was really terrible. And then it got a little better and a little better and a little better every year. So I think it should be pretty close. But I'm still amazed that there are a lot of people out there who are still manually typing in everything.
Yeah, it's scary.
It really is scary. And, you know, and what do you think we will be doing when AI and automation take over? What else will we get to do?
Well, that's where the advisory parts of things really come into play. So that's what's so exciting. We can really like really niche in on tax planning or, you know, CFO services. Wow. That's a like uncharted territory. I still don't know what someone, when they say they're an outsourced CFO, I have no idea what they do. And it varies so much across the industry, what the outsourced CFO A does compared to outsourced CFO B. And it's the same with tax planning. So I feel like we could really niche into our expertise at that point.
Well, I think that's a perfect note to end our conversation on, Jackie. I want to thank you so much for taking the time out of your very, very busy schedule to talk to me. If people want to reach out to you, where can they find you?
Well, first of all, join my Facebook group so that we can talk a lot, because I'm on there almost daily, called Accounting Firm Influencers. Secondly, you can visit my website. It's JackieMeyerCPA.com. That's M-E-Y-E-R. Or just shoot me an email if you have a question about the podcast, or, you know, you liked something I said, or you didn't like something I said and you want to talk more about it. My email is cpa@meyertax.com. So it was definitely a pleasure to be with you today. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Jackie. And great meeting you.
You too.
Thank you for listening to the CPA Trendlines podcast, a production of cpatrendlines.com, now available on iTunes. We hope you'll rate and review us wherever you find your podcasts to help other accountants find our show more easily. For more information, you can go to cpatrendlines.com.